Thank you for joining me for today's Beastwatch News Update. News from the Internet's most comprehensive Bible prophecy news website, BeastWatchNews.com. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown. In this week's report, you will really understand the dynamics of the politics, cultural, and religious realities in the Middle East, and how these are in the process of being fulfilled. Understand who the end times characters are by knowing who Yahweh says they are at the beginning. Find out how these characters are developing in the end of days, and discover the prophetic importance of their interactions in the end of days. The Middle East war's escalation continues, and you need to understand it so that you will be prepared when the initial wars break out in the Middle East. Israeli satellite images have revealed a new Iranian military base near Damascus. The images reportedly show two warehouses storing missiles capable of hitting all of Israel. According to the report, members of the Iran Revolutionary Guard Special Operations Quds Force are operating the new base. Iranian officials openly claim that they are working to build an axis of resistance to Israel and the U.S. in the region. Iranian strategy is based on building ties with local forces who share the same goals. Iran's resistance to Israel can easily be understood as a resistance to the King of the South, of which Israel is a part. See Daniel 11 verses 40 to 45, because Israel and Saudi Arabia are now in alliance. Saudi Arabia holds the spiritual power of Islam, as of now, because two of Islam's holiest cities are there, Mecca and Medina. All Muslim males, including those from Iran, make pilgrimage at least once in their lifetime to Mecca. Iran has aspirations of leading the next caliphate, which will be both a civil and spiritual, i.e., religious, governance. Therefore, Iran will need to control Mecca and Medina. To do that, they must take those cities away from Saudi Arabia. Israel is on Saudi Arabia's front line now. Yes, the Saudis are using Israel as a front guard, much like how Muslims use women and children as human shields, an act of all-out cowardice. Saudi Arabia does not want to go head-to-head with Iran. They want Israel to do that for them. Now, let's look at why the United States is a part of the King of the South that will be attacked by Iran and its ally Russia. The U.S. is the biggest financial backer of both Israel and Saudi Arabia, not to mention how the United States is at war with these two entities, Iran and Russia, in Syria. Furthermore, the reason Iran will attack Jordan, Egypt, and Libya is because they are all in peace deals with Israel, and the U.S. sends them aid to keep the peace deals in place. Now, that says a lot about how the U.S. has to bribe these Muslim nations to keep their end of the peace deals. Ethiopia will be attacked because that is a Christian nation. Iran knows who Jacob is at the end of days, and they want to kill off every descendant of Jacob from the earth. Christians don't understand the depth of the danger they are in because they don't understand, by and large, their ties to Jacob. Most don't even really understand their relationship to Israel via our mutual father, Abraham. But that's a topic for another show. Iran continues to cross every red line set by Israel. Literally, Iran is backing Israel up by increments, like bullies so often do. Netanyahu plans to counter Iran's bullying by moving forward with Washington to try to change the Iran nuclear deal. This action is intended to fight Iranian aggression on the ground. He will be meeting with President Trump soon, and this will be their first topic of discussion. Netanyahu called the deal a bad agreement that allows Iran to run on the highway towards nuclear weapons. The current situation needs to be changed, he said, with or without a change in the agreement. Haaretz posted an article this week about the surprise Israel may get from Iran if Israel keeps striking targets in Syria. This secular Jewish news outlet may not know it, but their insight is in line with the end-time King of the North invasion. The latest confrontation between Israel and Iran on the Northern Front was predictable and prophetic, I might add. It was a lead-in to the war that is coming between the King of the North and the King of the South. Israeli news outlets do not take into account the ramifications of Israel's actions for Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. The reality of Iran's agenda for Middle East dominance is not part of Israel's ability to see at the moment. Unfortunately, Israel only sees Iran's aggression against them. The Revelation 6 white horse with the rider who has a crown goes out conquering and to conquer. This is two different wars with two different agendas. Let me explain. Shia Iran has as its main focus the destruction of the Jews while simultaneously taking the rising caliphate from Sunni Saudi Arabia. Sweeping through Israel will be just a part of their operation. The other part of their operation will be to take Mecca and Medina from the Saudis. Mecca and Medina are the two more holy cities, holier than Jerusalem, according to Islam. The Muslims want to control all three cities. Although they claim Jerusalem is the third holiest city, they are also hiding their desire to rule the earth from Jerusalem. I suspect the Iranians are Amalek because of their behavior. Amalek is an Edomite, a grandson of Esau. Edomites are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, who is threatened and tried to kill Jacob, that's the line of the Jewish Messiah, and all 12 tribes of Israel for almost 4,000 years. The wars at the end of days during the Great Tribulation are exactly that. Their attempt to remove Jacob's descendants from the earth and to rule without Yahweh from Jerusalem. The Bible commands Jacob's descendants, Israelites, to go to war and kill Amalek in every generation until Amalek is wiped from the earth forever. The Great Tribulation Wars will be between Amalek and Israel. Purim, we just had Purim, is the story of what happens when God's people disobey His command. King Saul was told to go to war with the Amalekites to destroy everyone, children, women, men, and even their cattle. But Saul let King Agag live. For this, God ripped the Israelite kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David. King Agag's queen gave birth to an Agagite, a descendant of Esau, who spawned Haman, an Edomite Persian. I've traced Edomite kings and found that some Edomites went north from their capital home, Basra, in modern Jordan, to the area of the Persian Empire. King Agag's queen took her son to be with her people in the area that would later become Persia. Iran is the modern remnant of that ancient Persian Empire. Haman embodies Amalek's zeal to cut Jacob's descendants from life on earth. This is why Iran is so dangerous. So the white horse of Revelation 6 goes forth conquering. This going forth conquering is the first round of attacks by the Shiite nations led by Iran in the North Middle East. Daniel 11 goes on to say that the king of the north will get bad news out of the north and east. That's Daniel 11:44. I believe this will be Turkey. The Saudis and the Turks both want the caliphate. Once Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem are in the hands of the Iranian 4+1 coalition, and the 11th and final caliphate has been established, Turkey will want to do battle with Iran to change that and establish the caliphate under Sunni rule, just as the Sunnis did to three prior Shiite caliphates in Islamic history. You will recall that the beast of Revelation has 7 heads and 10 horns. It has 7 heads because it is comprised of the 7 empires that have threatened Israel's existence. There are 10 horns because these represent the 10 caliphates of Islam over the last 1400 years. An 11th horn arises, smaller than the others, which indicates that it will last for only a short time. These 10 crowns were Islamic caliphates. And do you remember that the scripture says 3 of the 10 were plucked up? In Islamic history, Shiites have gained the caliphate 3 times, only to almost immediately lose it to Sunni control. Thus, the Shiites have yet to establish a Shiite caliphate for any length of time. This coming Shiite caliphate will last longer than its 3 predecessors, but not long enough to become a full-sized horn or caliphate. Sunni Turkey will have aligned itself with the other Arab nations that will not have been attacked when Iran swept through Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. The Arab nations will be pulled between Iran and Turkey politically. But Daniel says the king of the north will hear disturbing news from the north and east, suggesting that Iran will have failed to gain alliances with the Arab nations, who are all Sunni dominated and who are located eastward in the Middle East. These include countries like Kuwait, Qatar, who right now seems to be allying with Iran, but who will probably pull back from Iran once a Shiite caliphate is established, Oman, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. When these begin to make noises about retaking the caliphate from Iran, Iran will become irate and will go forth to conquer. In other words, Tehran will decide to put an end to further uprisings against it. There will be Sunni-Shia clashes all over the earth at that time, Muslims fighting each other over the newly established caliphate in every city where they dwell. Tehran will want to put an end to these clashes, especially in the Middle East, in the Sunni Arab nations that I just mentioned, but also all over the earth. Therefore, Iran and its allies, Red Russia and Red China and Red North Korea, the Edomite secular nations, will go forth to do battle everywhere on the planet. This means in every nation, because Muslims have populations of Sunnis and Shiites in every nation on earth now. Haaretz goes on to say that the United States also poses a threat to Iran. The Trump administration has defined Iran as a threat of the highest order to the United States and its allies due to its use of terror, intervention in other countries, construction of a large missile system, and above all, its attempt to produce nuclear weapons. However, General Joseph Votel, in charge of U.S. Central Command, said on Tuesday that countering Iran is not a mission of the American-led coalition fighting ISIS. This was his reply when asked by Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, about what the United States can do in Syria to address threats posed by Iran. But he further said the coalition's relationships with the government of Iraq and with the Syrian Democratic Forces put us in a position where we can impede Iran's objectives of establishing lines of communication through these critical areas and trying to connect Tehran to Beirut, for example. So, he contradicted himself by doing what Washingtonians learned to do best under the Clinton administration, which is to redefine words to deceive people. Is what it is, General Votel. If the U.S. is trying to impede Iran in the Middle East, then the U.S. is in a mission to counter Iran. When will these people realize we Americans are not that stupid? Trump administration officials have said the U.S. military will stay in Syria past the defeat of ISIS, in part to prevent Iran from gaining influence in the region. Oh, no, we're not messing around with Iran over there. We don't have any reason or any desire to counter Iran. The U.S. administration hasn't yet taken any practical steps to stop the threat, and it's not clear whether it will, but Iran isn't certain it won't, and the last thing Tehran wants is a confrontation with the United States. Well, I disagree with that statement. Iran does want a direct confrontation with the U.S., but more importantly, Iran's dearest ally, Russia, is chomping at the bit to have such a direct confrontation. Meanwhile, the declaration by Washington that it will leave a military force in northern Syria for an indefinite period to check Iranian influence should worry Tehran. According to Haaretz, Russia, currently the most influential player in Syria, stands alongside Iran and recognizes Iran's right to maintain forces in Syria. There are differences of opinion, conflicts of interest, and suspicions between Tehran and Moscow, but as a result, Iran fears that if an overall agreement in Syria is achieved, Russia won't insist on leaving Bashar al-Assad's regime in place if it receives a promise that it can continue to use its air base and naval base there. What Haaretz is saying is that Iran has a vested interest in keeping Russia in Syria. What Haaretz is saying is that Iran has a vested interest in keeping Russia in Syria and keeping the fighting going. It perhaps may be that if the Syrian fighting stops, Iran will feel the need to attack Israel to keep the fighting going in order to keep Russia too busy to uninstall Bashar al-Assad from office. If the Assad regime is ousted in the context of an agreement, Iran's influence in Syria will suffer a serious blow. Iran thus hasn't yet responded with fire to Israel's attacks, except once at the beginning of February, against weapons convoys and factories in Syria. The Iranians are also likely to fear that a confrontation with Israel would give Israel a chance to attack the nuclear weapons sites in Iran. Moreover, Iran apparently doesn't seek a confrontation because its top priority is to stabilize the Assad regime and exploit its standing in Syria to strengthen its influence in Iraq and Lebanon. An entanglement with Israel could block these goals. Iran's supreme regional goal is to entrench itself in Syria and its neighbors for the long term. It has already paid a price for this in blood and money, and there's no reason to assume that it will give this up. Israel, meanwhile, must prevent Iran from leaving its forces and the Shiite militias in Syria, including Hezbollah, for the long term. This basic conflict could lead to a confrontation again, and there's no evidence yet of a responsible adult among the great powers to ease the conflict of interests. Haaretz's assessment is that at some stage, Iran will take a military action to deter Israel. Iran will want to surprise Israel with the timing, weapons, or method. For that purpose, it will prefer to activate Hezbollah and other Shiite militias so as not to get involved itself. Iran may instruct Hezbollah to use its missile system, despite the risks involved both to it and its emissaries. Iran would probably try to exploit an opportunity when Israel is preoccupied with another crisis. The main candidate is a conflict with Hamas in Gaza, and of course, there's also the possibility of a mistake in judgment that could get Iran embroiled in a conflict with Israel. In my opinion, Iran will probably step up assaulting Israel using Hezbollah and the other Shiite militias camped on Israel's Golan border. However, it isn't just a possibility that Iran will make a direct attack. It is a Bible prophecy. It is important for us to understand the political reasoning behind Iran and Russia's continued bombing of Ghouta and other areas surrounding Damascus. There is more than a religious reason behind this latest atrocity. Iran is seeking leverage in future talks over its missile program that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu intends to address in Washington. The Assad regime continues bombing innocent people in eastern Ghouta near Damascus and has killed at least 500 to date. Rescue workers continuously pull dead civilians from the rubble. Syria, Russia's, and Iran's inaction, nay, their defiance of the United Nations Security Council's 30-day ceasefire resolution, has become crystal clear that strong actions are needed by the UN to back up their demands. The driving force behind the Ghouta atrocity is to maintain Syria as part of Iran's dream of a Shiite Persian empire. Iran continues to expand its foothold in Syria, while Arab countries across the Gulf, Germany, and France are also being heard making strong demands. The European Union should also be making Iran understand that such hostilities are unacceptable, but have not yet uttered a word since business with Iran is more important to the EU's businesses now. Iran needs Damascus, the city, and its government to build its empire. Iran needs Tehran and Damascus. Plus, it wants to add Beirut. It is Damascus, though, that politically and geographically has the most importance. Scripture indicates the importance of Damascus to the point of telling us that it will become a heap of rubble from the war. That's in Isaiah 17:1. For Iran, it is highly important how the global community responds to its bellicosity, understanding when the time will be to dial down and when the timing is proper to further hostilities. Saudi Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir, in a European Parliament speech, emphasized the necessity for global collaboration to prevent Iran's interference abroad, adding Tehran should end its efforts and the revolution is over. Calling on the global community to intervene is exactly why Iran will have no qualms about creating a global war after conquering the Middle East. Their conquering of the Middle East will be only the beginning of Iran and Russia's push. Turkey will echo what the rest of the world will be calling for, an Iranian retraction out of Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia, and all the other minor nations it may overrun during the first phase of the King of the North war with the King of the South. But once Turkey engages Iran over the Shiite-controlled caliphate, Iran will see the need to go on the offensive globally so that the Americans and their allies cannot reverse Iran's success. Do you understand? This is the reason this Middle East conflict will go global. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after these messages. Hi, this is Kimberly Rogers Brown, thanking you for listening to the Jerusalem Report, produced by BeastWatchNews.com, and asking you to send your support, a donation of any size, to BeastWatchNews.com. It costs money to run ministries, to teach the Word, interpret the prophecies, and to keep websites online. Trust me, we sure do appreciate it. And remember, you can read the transcript of today's broadcast under the Jerusalem Report at BeastWatchNews.com. Join me in Jerusalem for Passover 2018. I've put together an affordable tour of Israel and Jordan with three options. You can join us for 2 days, 7 days, or 13 days. Whatever fits your pocketbook. Go to BeastWatchNews.com for details, pricing, and to see the money you can save by coming on this tour. Let's all say, this year in Jerusalem! Understanding the situation at hand, Iran is raising the price in Syria, such as the horrendous bombing campaign of East Ghouta, to use as a lever in possible future talks over its ballistic missile program and meddling in other states' internal affairs. But prophetically, Ghouta isn't just about future talks over missiles. It is a precursor to a greater outbreak of military action globally. I have spoken a lot about the 4+1 coalition, which is Iran, Iraq, Syria, Hezbollah, and Russia, Russia being the plus one. However, it is time to take a look at the wider axis, the axis that will make Iran's and Russia's global aspirations come to life. The wider axis includes China and North Korea. Russia can easily attack the U.S. from the Arctic Circle and the Atlantic Ocean, both with missiles from the ground and launching from submarines. But it is China, trolling off the west coast of America, that is also of great concern. A simultaneous coordinated attack on the U.S. from the north and both coasts has a high probability. Where does North Korea fit in? North Korea will take out the U.S.'s island allies, Australia, Philippines, Guam, Japan, Thailand, and even possibly some continental Asian nations that maintain good relations with the U.S., including India and Pakistan. North Korea's missiles, which can reach up to 15,000 kilometers, won't have to reach the United States with China patrolling the U.S. West Coast. The world's news outlets continually focus on North Korea's missiles, forgetting the fact that China has been following suit with Russia in building up its entire military, including its navy, which now includes highly technological aircraft carriers, destroyers, and nuclear submarines. The fact that North Korea and Iran have an ongoing close relationship where nuclear materials and weapons are manufactured in North Korea and shipped to Iran should not go unnoticed. Edomite, Red Iran, religious Edomites, and Edomite, Red North Korea, secular Edomites, should be expected to be friends at the end of days. Iran is not the only Edomite nation involved with North Korea. According to the Wall Street Journal, Syria also has nurtured a relationship with that nation. North Korea shipped 50 tons of supplies to Syria for use in building what is suspected to be an industrial-scale chemical weapons factory. This is according to a United Nations intelligence report. A Chinese, another red secular Edomite nation, trading firm working on behalf of Pyongyang made 5 shipments in late 2016 and early 2017 of high-heat, acid-resistant tiles, stainless steel pipes, and valves to Damascus, the report said, citing them as evidence that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is paying North Korea to help his country to produce chemical arms. The shipments are part of a steady stream of weapons-related sales by Pyongyang to Syria and to Mr. Assad's patron, Iran, estimated by some experts to be worth several billion dollars a year. Even as an international sanctions noose tightens around North Korea, Syria's conflict has been a windfall for its leader, Kim Jong-un. Such illicit revenues undercut Washington's maximum pressure sanctions campaign against North Korea with the aim of thwarting its nuclear weapons program. The UN report, which hasn't been publicly released, detailed evidence and intelligence from several member states. Syria's Scientific Studies and Research Center, or SSRC, which is the Assad-backed group responsible for developing chemical and other weapons of mass destruction, paid Pyongyang's primary arms dealer, Korea Mining Development Trading Corporation, for the materials through a series of front companies. North Korea is supplying Syria with the materials for its chemical weapons, missile and rocket propellants, and parts for Syria's Scud missile program. In their confidential report, UN investigators identified more than 40 shipments of material for use in arms production and other banned weapon programs from North Korea to Syria's unconventional weapons group. The last one was sent just a few weeks ago, the investigators wrote. North Korean technicians with specialized knowledge of chemical and ballistic missile technology have repeatedly visited Syria over the last 2 years, according to intelligence reports provided to the UN. In August 2016, a North Korean technical delegation to Syria discussed the procurement of special valves and thermometers known to be used in chemical weapons programs, according to these reports. A range of technicians with expertise in long-range radar, missiles, tanks, and other military equipment also have been found operating over the last 2 years in Sudan, Mozambique, Uganda, and Myanmar. China told the UN investigators it had no evidence that one of its companies was doing business with North Korea's primary arms dealer. It didn't deny the sales to Syria in the UN report, however, and said it was open to investigating those alleged connections to North Korea if investigators provided more evidence. The Syrian war has been a particular economic boon for North Korea, a condition that has allowed it to significantly upgrade its missiles to the point that it can strike everywhere on Earth. Besides Syria, though, North Korea is selling arms to the insurgent Houthi militia in Yemen on Saudi Arabia's southern border, as well as Hezbollah in Lebanon. Pyongyang also sells to a host of other countries, including sub-Saharan dictatorships, and to Myanmar's ballistic missile program, according to U.S. and U.N. reports. The latest details of the North Korean-Syrian military venture reflect decades-long ties between Pyongyang and Damascus, dating to their shared Cold War patronage under the Soviet Union. Pyongyang helped build the Syrian nuclear reactor that was destroyed by Israeli midnight strikes in September of 2007. That facility was thought to be a near duplicate of North Korea's Yongbyon reactor. But put the puzzle pieces together like Yahweh instructed. Realize that Esau is red. Edom is red. He was red in the beginning, and he is red at the end. Iran is red. Syria is red. Hezbollah is red. Russia, China, North Korea are all red. They are either physical descendants of Esau, spiritual descendants of Esau, or both. Esau's agenda has not changed. He wants to be king of the earth to take Jacob's rightful place, and it doesn't help that the Hebrews, who are their own worst enemy, are helping Esau to do that. I have shown you many times my belief that Gog is not some nebulous figure that arises out of nowhere at the end of days, but is in fact a Hebrew, an Israelite from the tribe of Reuben. You can find this teaching by clicking over to themessianicmessage.com. I have also claimed that Gog migrated to Germany and showed you proof that no surname of Gog exists in Russia. But there are hundreds of thousands of hits for the Gog surname in Germany. You can go read that article as well and see the proof for yourself. I also believe it could be President Donald Trump, that's his German name, that could trigger the war between the kings of the North and South, and that Gog, Drumpf's people, who are also end times Babylon, will be embroiled in the conflict. Trump's Jerusalem policy might push the Middle East over the edge. This week, a Middle East news outlet leaked details of the president's Israeli-Palestinian peace plan. Quoting knowledgeable Arab diplomatic sources in Paris, the London-based Saudi newspaper Ashark al-Assat reported on Wednesday that the Trump administration's coalescing peace plan could contain several major carrots for the Palestinians, while at the same time not ignoring Israel's security needs. Plans may include Palestinians giving up the right of return and putting the old city under an international mandate, according to the report. Recognizing a Palestinian state with Eastern Jerusalem as its capital is the biggest nod to Palestinian demands, also according to this report. Would President Trump then put an embassy in East Jerusalem, as I hinted he might, starting last spring? The purported Trump proposal, seemingly taken from former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's offer to Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas in 2008, would dilute Israeli jurisdiction over Jerusalem even further. According to the report, smaller outlying Jewish villages in Judea and Samaria would be relocated, while the Palestinian Authority's security and administrative control of areas A and B would be expanded. The inducements for Israel reportedly include retaining military control of the Jordan Valley, as well as security control over Judea and Samaria, including its borders. Egypt would have security control over the Gaza Strip. In addition, all large villages and towns would stay part of Israel. Another key Israeli demand is addressed as well. The Palestinians who fled Israel in 1948 and their descendants would have no right to return to Israel proper. They would stay in the countries they currently live in and receive monetary compensation. According to the Saudi paper's sources, the U.S. would ask the international community to help establish the new country's institutions by collecting the whopping sum of $40 billion. The money, it says, is not intended to buy Palestinian acceptance of the peace plan. The diplomats stressed this point. The Americans would like to present the peace plan, which has no date of delivery as yet, in the framework of an international conference that would be held in one of the Arab capitals, in order for Israelis to be able to attend easily. This would either be Amman or Cairo, most likely the latter. The leak of this information to a Saudi news outlet should not go unnoticed by you. The Saudis want to play a key role in Middle East and world politics in the future, but they can't overtly court Israel, which is why a possible international conference may be held in Cairo. That is, unless the U.S., Israel, and the Saudis just want to be blatant about their new relationship and host such a conference in Mecca. This would be tantamount to the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia thumbing their noses at Iran as if to say, the Sunnis have the caliphate. We shall have to wait and see how this transpires. Early reaction to the purported plan in Israel was not favorable. Leaders of the Sovereignty Movement, a Judea and Samaria activist organization, referred to the plan as a regional disaster. While rumors of the purported plan continue to swirl in the Arab world, nothing has been officially confirmed. Still, Palestinian officials have called it the slap of the century that no Palestinian would ever accept. Several senior Palestinian Authority officials have wildly claimed that the U.S. administration, together with Israel, is looking to destroy the Palestinian cause and oust its current leadership. Speaking during a gathering at the Palestinian embassy in Cairo, PA President Mahmoud Abbas's advisor for international affairs, Nabil Sha'at, said, President Mahmoud Abbas is in a position of full confrontation with the United States and Israel in the wake of the Israeli government's intransigence and the recent U.S. administration's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and transfer its embassy to it. We will not establish our state, but on our national soil. No state in Gaza, no state without Gaza, no state without Jerusalem as the capital. Not a capital in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is the capital, Sha'at said. Sha'at also predicted that within 3 years, the world ruled by the United States will end and a multilateral leadership will be established. We will be part of this new world, he added. This brings me to this point. The Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. Does this Palestinian know something about Iran and Russia's agenda to have cleaned the earth of Jacobites within that time frame? Does Iran's plans include making peace on Israeli soil by war? Do the Palestinians, whom DNA evidence shows are actually carriers of ancient Hebrew DNA, not Canaanite, as Abbas recently declared, think Iran will let them live when they sweep through Israel? Perhaps initially, but with modern DNA evidence, Iran is most certainly aware of who the Palestinians really are. I suspect Iran won't let the Palestinians live either. The Europeans are already reacting to Trump's non-released peace plan. A number of European countries are trying to persuade the United States to amend aspects of its long-anticipated Israel-Palestinian peace proposal even before it is unveiled. The issue they desire to change is the Palestinian right of return. The United States would ask Palestinians to forsake their hope to resettle millions of Palestinian refugees living throughout the Middle East to Israel in exchange for recognition of Palestine as a state. Western diplomatic sources confirmed talks between the Washington administration and European countries were indeed taking place, but said chances were low of the Americans taking into account all of the Europeans' demands regarding the peace push. It was further reported the peace plan envisioned a demilitarized Palestinian state with limited sovereignty whose borders are not based on the 1967 lines. London-based pan-Arab newspaper Ashark al-Assat reported on Wednesday, citing diplomatic sources in France, that the U.S. peace plan did not rule out East Jerusalem as a Palestinian capital, but conditioned it on the old city being under international rule. Jerusalem, old city, which is the area that Yahweh calls his holy city in the Bible, has only one option for peace under human beings, which is to internationalize it. The fact is that this is exactly what Yeshua the Messiah intends to do with it. The issue is that mankind, the UN initially and later a ruler from Iran probably, will rule over Yahweh's holy city while the Messiah intends to rule the world from there. So man's way is all the nations ruling Jerusalem, Esau getting away to share in the ruling over Jerusalem. But God's way is for Jerusalem to rule the world. While Jerusalem has been already nominated capital of the State of Israel by the Trump administration last December, with plans to operate the relocation of the embassy there in May, the new plan would allegedly recognize the eastern parts of the Holy City as the capital of the Palestinian state. In the latest show of distrust towards the Palestinian leadership and in an effort to move the Palestinians in this direction, the United States has frozen over half of their contribution to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, down from $125 million to a mere $60 million. In a harshly worded tweet after the move in January, the PLO said the administration was targeting the most vulnerable segment of the Palestinian people and depriving the refugees of the right to education, health, shelter, and a dignified life. The Palestinian leadership, though, has been caught embezzling this money from their own people. But they want you to believe the U.S. and Israel are responsible for the poor living conditions of PA citizens. This peace plan is Donald Trump's personal spoil. Gog's spoil is of another kind. Trump has hailed this as the deal of the century. And I believe Trump is narcissistic enough to push until he makes something happen. However, I doubt he will enjoy the outcome, because what he will inadvertently make happen is a global war. That's it for this Beast Watch News update. This is Kimberly Rogers Brown signing off. Click over to BeastWatchNews.com for full comprehensive coverage of all the headlines fulfilling end of days Bible prophecy.